Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Our next guest was the founding editor of Deadspin. He has written for a number of very esteemed outlets, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, Medium, NBC News, New York Magazine as well. And he has a brand new book out called How Lucky, which is a little bit about sports, but a lot about a lot of other things. So I want to talk to him about all of that. Joining us this morning on the show is Will Leach. Will, good morning. How you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, sir. I'm delighted to be on.
And I'm very happy to hear that you enjoyed the GIF that our digital department made for you for this very moment.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So it's interesting because looking at Deadspin, you know, things seem to alter in the sports media landscape. There's kind of a before Deadspin and after Deadspin. And I was wondering what the inspiration was. Was there a story, a report, a reporter, a media member that before you created the website, you said, look, this is it. We can't have this anymore. I'm going to do something about it.
You know, yeah, I had worked as a more traditional sports reporter when I was younger, and I had gone into a press box a couple times, and I looked around and saw, I assumed everyone that was covering sports would be like, wow, we're covering sports. How exciting. I love my job. How lucky I am to get to do this. And then you go, you've been in a press box, you go up there and everyone's just like, why is the food so cold? This is terrible. I want nothing to do with this. Why are these athletes so mean to me? And I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with my career, but I'm not going to work in sports. Those guys look miserable. And it struck me how like there was a real disconnect between the people that, not just in media, but people that worked in sports and the people who consume the sports, you know, the fans who actually pay for everything. So it felt to me that there was a real gap between the way that sports were talked about and the way that people actually enjoyed sports. So whether it was an over heroicness of saying the athletes were incredible and wonderful and gods and heroes, or that they were terrible and bums and all that stuff. And I felt like fans had a much more lighter touch when it came to sports and kind of a more, not necessarily relaxed. I don't think we can call fans relaxed, but certainly putting it better in perspective. And so that was always the idea. And, you know, frankly, you know, I didn't, it's funny to think that Deadspin that for a long time was thought as like really scary, dangerous side. I certainly never considered it that way. I think that sports had just kind of become so kind of calcified in like a certain kind of structure. I think anything new was going to feel like this major upheaval.
So it's interesting that the cynicism of a press box was what inspired you to do Deadspin. But then Deadspin had a very cynical tone about sports quite a bit, and there were no sacred cows. And, you know, there were no kid gloves as well. So was that the original idea, or did it kind of evolve into that?
I would say that, like, certainly one of the things that we realized pretty early on was, you know, more people knew who Chris Berman was than the shortstop for the Tampa Bay Rays. And so, therefore, fans would want that stuff covered the same way that they covered the regular teams. And I think that was surprising to a lot of people and perhaps a little uncomfortable. So I think that I do not think, and I certainly hope, I certainly never intended for anything to be like aggressively mean or to go after anyone. But also, you know, the sports media was covered in a way that the athletes were covered. And I think that was definitely new. If anything, I feel like that was the most new thing about it, is that sports was covered as this holistic thing rather than we only cover this stuff, but this stuff we don't cover this. Like I don't think it was just Deadspin, but I do think there was a lot of sites that decided, some good, some bad, but like the idea that there was some sort of thing that like, okay, this is off limits, we don't talk about this, was frankly not the way that people were discussing this stuff. And frankly, now I look at stuff that I wrote about at Deadspin back then that people couldn't believe we were talking about, and it's like run through ESPN.com and TMZ, everything by the time I've woken up in the morning. So certainly the culture's changed quite a bit.
Will Leach joins us. He was the founding editor and creator of the website Deadspin. So do you think that's the legacy of Deadspin, is that specifically for sports media, I know when I go out with my friends or when we are having conversations, everybody in the sports media is very aware that what we do can also be dragged through the mud like we've done to athletes forever, or we are covered like athletes in terms of criticism, who's worth this, who's not worth this, and we are open game, open season. Do you think that is one of the lasting legacies of Deadspin?
I would say that's one of the lasting legacies of the internet would probably be the best way to put that. I think the internet clearly kind of flattened that a little bit. And I think Deadspin, because for a lot of people, Deadspin was the first incarnation of like that kind of internet. I think Deadspin gets credit for that, where I don't know necessarily credit or blame, whatever, however you want to call it, that necessarily is due. To me, the thing that I think Deadspin, I would hope the legacy of Deadspin would really be, there's just a bunch of new voices that would have never been heard before. You know how the sports media worked. A person would get a job at 23 and toil away for years and years, and hopefully get a chance to get a job in a big job in a newspaper or a TV station or a radio station when they were 35 and hold on to it till they died. And there were no other realms to kind of get through. You know, for me, the most exciting thing about Deadspin was discovering early on just how many people had so many things to say and had so many things, and there were so many smart people out there and so many great voices. To me, that was what when I think of, like, obviously we can debate the history of Deadspin and everything, but certainly when I think of like what I hope that Deadspin was able to accomplish, it was able to introduce to many people so many new voices that would have never been heard otherwise in kind of a more closed off system.
There are so many members of the sports media and so many fans that go on Twitter every day and go, oh, this is a cesspool. Oh, this is a sewer. It's so negative. There's so much backbiting. It's just an impossible kind of road to hoe every single day, and yet we all stay on it and we're all connected to it. What do you think the future is? Do you think that Twitter changes? Do we change as Twitter users? Where does sports media go in that realm?
Yeah, I do think Twitter is kind of the drug right now. And I think that it's funny because, obviously Facebook has social media problems. There are all sorts of social media problems everywhere. But there is something inherently kind of addictive about Twitter in a way that, frankly, I, as a fellow member of the media, totally understand. We're always on the lookout for news and things to talk about and so on. I do sense, however, that like these things get to a fever pitch at a certain point where, we discovered this with Deadspin early on, there were certain things that down in the muck, you just, A, either you didn't want to get into, or B, if you did get into, it ultimately made people be like, ugh, I don't want to go to that site. I don't want anything to do with that. And I think there is a threshold at a certain level. And I think sometimes it can feel, it's also worth remembering that the vast, 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 vast majority of sports fans are not actually on Twitter at all. And I think, or post like once a year or so on. I think that's almost a fallacy that, again, I've fallen into as well, that when you work in media and you look at Twitter all the time, you do think that it's real life. And I just don't think it is. And I think that like part of that is going to be like weaning ourselves off. Twitter is inherently a medium that feels negative. Like no one jumps on Twitter and says, hey, this was nice. Thank you for opening the door for me. Like nobody does. Like that's not how Twitter works. And so by definition, Twitter will make the world feel more negative than it actually is. I do believe, and maybe this is being a dumb Midwestern optimist, but I do actually believe that people are at their core, they at least want to be good or try to be good. And so I think at a certain level, the prism of Twitter and the kind of the panopticon of Twitter that makes you feel that like, well, everyone's angry and everyone's upset all the time. When you walk outside, that's not actually true. This is actually a theme of the book a little bit. The idea that like when you walk outside, if the real life were like Twitter, we would never stop punching ourselves and each other in public. We'd constantly be getting in fights. That doesn't happen. So I think that there, in my opinion, there will be a little bit of a weaning off of this, if just because Twitter is just not actually a reflection of the real world in a way that it can feel sometimes.
It's a good way to put it. Will Leach is our guest this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. You referenced the book. You're the author of a new novel called How Lucky. It's about a young man who has spinal muscular atrophy, and so he's relegated to a wheelchair, and he spends most of his day staring outside of his house from his porch or from a window, looking at the life around him, and it seems that there happens to be an incident that maybe he has witnessed that he can either jump to help or pose some type of resources towards. So what was the inspiration behind this?
Yeah, you know, my son's best friend, I have a 10-year-old son, his best friend actually has spinal muscular atrophy, and it's a terrible disease. This is a very shorthand way to describe it, but it's almost like ALS, but for little kids. Like, it's really just a brutal, horrible disease, and something that we have felt and been very close to. It's touched our family and touched our lives in a lot of ways. And I spent a lot of time with Miller, my son's friend, and people that have SMA, and there's a certain... their minds are fine. Like their minds are. I tell you, Miller's keeps beating me at Madden every single time I play him. It's very frustrating. And but at a certain level, people can't help but talk to them differently. And I found that consistently kind of frustrating. So I wanted to kind of base a story on that character. It takes place here in Athens, Georgia, where I live. And it was funny when I told a story about Athens, Georgia. It takes place over the span of 1 week. And I thought, well, we have to do this during a game week. And so there's a lot of tailgating in the book. There's a Georgia football game. And I wrote this before the pandemic, but we just went through a football season where there was no tailgating. And I hear it a lot, like, wow, last year's college football season felt different and strange and weird. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I would submit to the court that no tailgating made college football seem incredibly strange last year. So almost the book is almost a commemoration of when we were able to all kind of mix together. Because, again, this kind of speaks to the earlier point, too. One of the things I love about tailgating, like, listen, I live in Georgia. This is, I don't know if you've noticed, it's been a somewhat political flashpoint state in the last couple of years. And one of the great things about tailgating is that, like, I've been here where there's been a Kemp tailgate next to an Abrams tailgate, and at the end, everyone's sharing food and drink and talking and rooting for Georgia. And to me, that is something that sports can do really wonderfully in a way that I think gets lost a little bit. And so as another reason I kind of want to set it during a tailgate and look at that one of those. The book is not about sports, but certainly sports is something that the culture of sports is something that runs through it pretty clearly.
I had a chance to go to Athens a couple of years ago for the Deep South's oldest rivalry. And let me tell you, Friday night in Athens before a football game. Woo! Those lines are long. Those people are drunk and everybody's real excited until deep into the night. Now that is a party.
We locals order out and just sit outside and watch people go crazy. It's wonderful. It's a great time.
The novel is called How Lucky. It is available this month from Will Leach. Will, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that gift. I truly, truly love it.
You got it. Will Leach joining us here on the show and giving a nice fist pound to Cap on that gift that he pumped out there with Will and these neon lights, and it says Will's name in big bright letters, and there is Will kind of posing like an author that he is, and it's glorious. Cap's work is always glorious.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.